Welcome to Saintfield Road and to our online service this morning, alongside our gathering for worship in our buildings. This morning, in our continuing look at the Bible story, the story of God's kingdom, we'll think about the prophets and the speaking of God's word in ways that warn and challenge, but also bring hope. One prophet, Isaiah, maybe about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, looks forward to the hope that Jesus will bring as he speaks God's words. Isaiah 42. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged, till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. Perhaps some of us come faltering or a bit discouraged in these days, feeling bruised or feeling like our light is barely flickering. Let me encourage us to lift our eyes in worship to the one who lifts us up, the one who is filled with God's Spirit, faithful, just, and compassionate. The one who has come to restore our world as he establishes his kingdom. Here and now, as we gather on one of those islands of which Isaiah speaks, to listen to his teaching, may we put our hope in Jesus Christ.
My troubled soul, why so weighed down? You were not made to bear this heavy load. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares, he cares for you. Jesus cares, he cares for you.
prayer from PCI's Let's Pray resource. Lord, you have promised in the prophets to be like a refiner's fire, proving and purifying our lives as your people. You refine us like silver and test our lives like gold. In these last months, we have known all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of our faith, of far greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Lord, it all sounds so stirring and heroic when we read it on the page of Scripture, though we're not sure about ourselves. We're not sure whether we shine brighter or whether we're in danger of shrinking back from the lessons you've taught us. But we want your refining to redefine our lives as your people and as your church. Help us to take confidence that as we have walked through the fire, we have not been consumed. Already refined by the experience of pandemic and lockdown, give us a fresh faith to call on your name and to know that you will answer us and say, "They are my people," so that we can reply with new vigour, "The Lord is our God." As your work in us is further revealed by fire in these days, and that furnace tests the quality of our life and witness, may we be further refined into your ways for us, reformed, remoulded, reshaped, repolished, reignited, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You should be receiving a letter from me soon, if not already, that is an update on two matters. One is about our services from the 8th of November onwards. We hope to be able to invite half of you, those in the odd-numbered districts, to come to church 1 week, and the other half, the even-numbered districts, to come the next week. So if you're feeling able and willing to come, and you may not be yet, but the opportunity will be there for every other week. There'll also be a children's provision in the halls for those in P4 to 7, and for those between nursery and P3 who can bring a parent in with them, and a space in the youth room too for those with very young children to sit with them if they wish and have the service broadcast in there. And the service here in church will be broadcast live at 11 o'clock, live streamed on the web. So if you're at home, you can still join in. Or you can watch or listen to the recording from just a short while after the end of the service. So there'll not be a pre-recorded service like this one, but the live one, filmed as we go in the church. There'll still be E20 for M for children too. Now that's all from the 8th of November, and there's more details in the letter, so do read that, and you can also find a copy on our website on the announcements page. The other upcoming event is our church Weekend of Light next weekend. Again, along with your letter, there's a flyer about this, but let me just highlight what's going on. On Friday at 7:30, there's a Zoom quiz with Derek and Dinger, with everything good you'd expect from such a quiz, but dare I say, taken up to the next level. Then from 10 o'clock Saturday to 10 o'clock Sunday, there's 24 hours of prayer. You can either go to our Facebook page and sign up for an hour, and it doesn't matter if somebody else has, put your name down too. Or you can just choose an hour and pray. Pray for our church, pray for our world, pray for each other. Pray on Zoom, pray at home, on your own, or in a family. Pray on a walk. There are prayer resources for all ages, if you want them, on the website. Saturday afternoon is a Halloween whodunit. Though we're staying safe in terms of COVID, I fear a grievous crime is about to take place, and it needs you travelling around South Belfast to eliminate the suspects and find the guilty party. Johnny is putting together what looks like a fantastic game for families, and not just families, for anyone who wants to jaunt around in a car, find some clues, and accomplish some challenges. The background to the case will be available from Friday evening on the website for you to download and print off. And then everything will be in place by lunchtime Saturday for you to solve the crime and get back to church between 2 and 4pm with the answer to claim a prize. After all that, why not stay in on Saturday evening and join together apart in praise with our worship from home? Recorded from different people's homes, here is singing, prayer and reflection on video, available from 7:30 to help us worship our great God. On Sunday, we have our three communion services at 10 a.m. for districts 1 to 5, 12 p.m. and it's definitely 12 p.m. though I caused some confusion last week, sorry, 12 p.m. for districts 6 to 10 and 2:30 p.m. for districts 11 to 15. As I've said and written, it's a half hour or so service focusing on the Lord's Supper, accessible for children who we're happy can take part as far as their parents are happy. It will look a bit different with a cup and a plate with bread already set out in your place as a household, but simply and profoundly, the opportunity on All Saints Day for those who are willing and able to come together to the sacrament and tangibly share in the grace of Jesus Christ. There'll also be a pre-recorded service like this one available. And then on Sunday at 3:30, come by the church and pick up a pack of light like this one to be delivered around the local homes. It's a note with a little gift, a chocolate bar inside, carefully packaged to be carefully distributed. Let's share a little light in our neighbourhood. But before that, there's a prayer video on Wednesday night. And before that, E20M is available this morning and the rest of our service carries on with the reading.
Today's reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all of its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Amen.
My faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, he will hold me fast.
delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. But I give at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
Although we looked at the poetry and the wisdom of the kingdom last week, we left the story the week before at the fall of the kingdom. Chronicles, the Old Testament's own sort of Bible overview, had led us from Adam through the story of the kingdom, still all the time following the family line and looking for the chosen one, but now to the exile of the divided kingdom, maybe about 600 years BC. This is a tragic time for the people of God. Has God forgotten all about his promises, those promises about people and place and blessing and rule? There they are, no longer in the land, divided and scattered as a people, and under a foreign king and his rule. Before, during, and after this time of exile, God spoke to his people through prophets. We mentioned Elijah and Elisha in the book of Kings previously. We also get these books of what we sometimes call the major and the minor prophets, not because of their particular significance, but simply the length of the books. Some people spoke to those in the northern kingdom, Israel. Some prophets spoke to those in the southern kingdom, Judah. Some of the prophets spoke to the people before exile, some while it was happening, and some later on. It's not always easy to pinpoint where and when they spoke exactly, but it can help to see who was speaking when and where, as far as we can, to get the context and thrust of their message. In general, however, the prophets were what Vaughan Roberts calls covenant enforcers. That is, they stridently reminded the people of the binding relationship they had with the Lord, the one who had repeatedly said that he was their God and they were called to be his people. And on the whole, the prophet spoke about judgment and hope. They spoke of judgment before it came, so the people might avoid it. It's like a loving parent saying, you know the rules,
We've been over this before. If you do this, things will go well. But if you don't, they won't. I'm reminding you, I'm urging you to stop ignoring what I say, listen to me properly, and do this for your own good. But I'm warning you, if you carry on down that path, there will be consequences. Well, the prophets reminded the people of what God had said, and what he'd promised, and what he'd warned. The calling to be his holy nation, the blessings of obedience, but also the curses of disobedience that Moses had laid before them when they were on the edge of the promised land. Now the prophets are saying, stop what you're doing and turn back to God and his ways. There's still a chance for you. That is essentially prophecy. It's less about predicting events in the future out of the blue. Oh, this might happen. That's foretelling the future. It's much more forthtelling God's words into the present. God's words of truth about what the future will hold, depending on how people respond to God. Well, ultimately and reluctantly, the prophets were proved right. Interestingly, God's judgment through the prophets isn't restricted to Israel. Some prophets like Nahum and Obadiah speak of what will befall the nations who have mistreated the Lord and his people. It's a reminder of the words to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. It's a reminder of the fact that God is a judge, not just of one people, but of the nations. But God's words through the prophets are not just warning and judgment and lament at it all. They are also words of hope. Even in exile, to remind the people that God was still the covenant God of lasting promise. The prophets spoke of the people's future, even in the midst of a challenging and seemingly hopeless situation, that if they put their trust in God, would be a hopeful one. Comfort for my people, for there is a future after this, said Isaiah in our reading. There is good news to come. The Lord coming in power to make things right, to gather his people close to his heart like a shepherd. Or Jeremiah famously, for I know the plans I have for you, says God to his people, plans to give you hope and a future. The prophets looked forward to the establishment of God's people. God would save a group of people faithful to him, through whom his promise will build, who will return to the land, says Isaiah. God will bring life to a valley of dry bones, prophesies Ezekiel. He will not just restore Israel from this darkness in which they're walking, but he will also use his servant to be a light for the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah comes back again and again to a particular person, a child born to rule, a servant who will suffer, but who will bring together God's people from Israel and the nations. The prophets also look forward to the restoration of God's place. Some people would return to the land. The wastelands will become like the garden of the Lord, the towns resettled, ruins rebuilt, the temple will be rebuilt. Ezekiel has a vision of a glorious new temple. But actually, much bigger than just the land of Israel or the new temple, Isaiah has his sights set on a new heavens and a new earth. The prophet's vision of God's place for his people is huge.
And the prophets speak of God's blessing and rule. A new covenant will be established, a binding new relationship of forgiveness and love between God and his people, written on their hearts, says Jeremiah. Hearts that are no longer stony towards God, but hearts of flesh with God's spirit set in his people, says Ezekiel. God's spirit that will be poured out on all people, says Joel. A child will be born to reign, says Isaiah. A son of man with the authority and power of God, says Daniel. A king who will come riding on a donkey, says Zechariah, who will restore those who are currently prisoners of hope. The wolf will live with the lamb in this place of harmony, says Isaiah. A new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills, says Amos. All about this fruitful, peaceful, restored, blessed future. All this is being spoken to the people over these generations, before, during, and after the exile. But on the ground, how are the people faring? I used the opening line a couple of weeks ago of Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. If you're of a certain age, you'll recall the song. You may even now be singing it to yourself. Better yet, Alexa, play Rivers of Babylon by Boney M. Well, Psalm 137 is a lament for the people in exile. And in verse 4, it has this powerful question. How can we sing the songs of Zion? That is, the songs of the hope of God's kingdom. How can we sing the songs of Zion while in a foreign land? As a question, it expresses their angst and despair, and the psalm goes on to stronger emotions as well. But it also airs the possibility as a question that the Lord may teach his people to sing his song, even in an alien situation. So Daniel and Esther are wonderful stories of just that. How God shows that he is at work beyond the borders of Israel and behind the scenes of the world, in his people, as they faithfully follow him while living among the nations where the Lord's name is not known, nor his ways. And even how God is at work in the people, the kings no less, of the nations. The story of Jonah makes a similar point. The Lord is concerned about those in the nations who do not know him. God's promises live on then among the nations. God's power and interest and kingdom is for the nations, as was clear from the beginning, as God said to Abraham. God's people are called to sing the Lord's song, even in a foreign land. So over the coming centuries, between the two testaments, God's people gathered where they were, among the nations, especially with no temple or far away from Jerusalem, for the teaching of God's word. That's perhaps part of the development of synagogues. And as they were taught and sat around God's word, the scriptures they have, what we have as the Old Testament, were translated into Greek. Because with the rise of the Greeks later on, that becomes the trading language spoken across the whole of the region, the empire. So much later on, people like Paul would have read his Bible scrolls, not just in Hebrew, but also in Greek. And the New Testament, the letters and the Gospels were written not in Hebrew, but in Greek. And the scriptures, old and then new, were able to be far more widely read across the nations than just by Hebrew speakers. Bible translation is a wonderful thing. Anyway, back some 70 years after the exile, as prophesied, King Cyrus of Persia, the superpower that's now taken over the Babylonian Empire,
and was itself later taken over by the Greeks, does allow some people to return to the land, to Jerusalem. Ezra and Nehemiah, which are probably two volumes of the same book, chart the waves in which this happens. Some people return, houses are built, the law is read again to the people, the temple and the walls of Jerusalem are reconstructed, the people are rebuilt as a worshipping people. There is restoration and rebuilding in God's city of peace. And yet, there is still no king. There's a governor, notably for a while, the wonderfully named Zerubbabel. But they're still under foreign rule. In the coming centuries, under various different foreign rulers, the hope for their own king, their own promised anointed one, the Messiah, becomes more fervent. And while Jerusalem and the temple are rebuilt, there isn't the same feel as before. In Haggai, the Lord recognizes that the older people who saw the temple before will look at the new one being built and say, it's not all that. Compared to the glory days, it's not all that. But says the Lord, I will shake things up again and bring a greater glory and a peace here than ever before. And yet while the law is read in these days of return and people turn back to God, yet they're unfaithful again. It's there at the end of Nehemiah, where having got it all together and gone away, he comes back to find the people compromising again. It's recorded by Malachi too. He talks of the lame worship and the compromising of the people in their relationships with those around them.
As the story of the kingdom in the Old Testament comes to a close, about 450 BC or so, it's all a bit underwhelming. The people, the place, the blessing and rule. The big question mark remains. Where are God and his promises? What of the kingdom? The people grumble about it. Where is God and justice in all this? And in Malachi, the last book of the Bible, the Lord responds. See, he says, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. And a chapter later, the Old Testament ends there. And there's 400 years or more of apparent silence. Let me leave you with two reflections from the prophesied kingdom for our situation as we close.
The first is that God equips his people to sing his song in a foreign land, in an alien situation. The prophets speak to the people, and the people are called to sing of the Lord where he has placed them. Even if that initially sounds strange or difficult or alien. But they're learning that there is no place or time that is not under the Lord. No place that isn't called to be under his kingdom. No people that he is not concerned about. In our time and place, in this changing culture, even in this particular alien situation that we find ourselves in, yet we are called to ask, how can we sing the Lord's song? What does it mean for us to be faithful worshippers and witnesses of the Lord, right where he has placed us, and even in this moment? That will require continuing imagination, creativity, and openness to God. at work in our lives, as individuals and as a church.
The second reflection follows on. The prophets spoke to people of hope and light in their darkness, of comfort, and we need to hear that. What God has planned for the future for his people is far greater than we can possibly imagine. Our light and hope in Jesus, the coming Lord, is far greater than any darkness or fear. At the same time, the people grumbled about where God was still in all this and called out for him to come. And they were to find that God's coming to them was radically challenging for them. What they comfortably expected and what God delivered, true to his promise that he would come and raise the valleys and level the ground, they were two different things. God has come to be with us in Christ. He has come to bring us hope and a future beyond our imagination. But the call on our lives is radical. A turning to God with all of our being. A trusting in God to lead us in and through alien and uncomfortable times and places. A prophetic challenge and changing of our own hearts and attitudes and landscape. Were the people going to be ready for the coming of the King to the heart of his kingdom? Are we prepared for what his kingship means for us? Are we living in readiness for his return, challenged by how he calls us to live now? As we reflect, here's a song Wally's recorded for us. It's a song we know, and that is very apt. We are called to be prophets to this nation. So change my heart, O God.
We are called to be prophets to this nation, to be the word of God in every situation. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, fill my heart with your compassion. Shine your light, shine your light, shine your light through me. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart, oh Lord, today. Lord, take all my lies and take all of my greed. Let me be a sacrifice to those who are in need. Good intentions, Lord, without your grace, who could find redemption? Change my heart, change my heart today. Lord, loose the chains of oppression. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, fill my heart with compassion. Shine your light, shine your light. shine your light through me. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart, oh Lord. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart, oh Lord.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you in prayer this morning, whether that be gathered together in our church building or from the surroundings of our own homes. Thank you that wherever we are, you are there with us and hear and respond to our prayers. God, we praise you that the boundaries of church are not confined to four walls or a building, but rather the church is your people. And what a privilege to join with our many brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who choose to worship you today. Thank you that you hear each and every prayer, spoken and unspoken, and that you are here with us now. Lord, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. Teach us to pray with our hearts as well as our lips. Keep our thoughts from wandering and help us to remember that you are near us when we pray and are always ready to hear. If our prayers are not always answered in the way we would like, give us grace to accept your will for us and to remember that you know best. Even when our life is busy and our time is crowded with everyday activities, help us still to make time to turn to you for the strength and guidance we need. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love made known to us, embodied totally, truly, and gloriously in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you and confess that we need your softening touch. Where our hearts have become cold and distant, choosing comfort over commitment, please remind us of the wonder of your love and the conviction of your call. Where we've become tired and weary, forgetting that we are your precious child, please help us to feel your embrace and hear your rejoicing over us. Where our hearts have become hardened, ignoring the cries of those who need our help, please move us to act in mercy and grace, powered by your compassion and a deep desire for justice. And where we've become doubting or downhearted, deciding that change will never come, please fill us with your passion, reminding us that light and hope will break through into the darkness. Father, it's difficult to watch the news at the moment and see and hear of the rising rates of infection and deaths caused by the coronavirus pandemic and not feel anxious about the state of the world around us. Help us to remember that you are sovereign and are in complete control. Lord, during your earthly ministry, you healed the sick. Look with favour on those known to us who are unwell or suffering at this time. In their weakness, Lord, may they find your strength. Keep them free from pain, free from fear, and surround them with your loving care and protection. Fill them with your peace that passes all understanding, and if it be your will, restore them to health. We thank you for the gift of health services in our nation, freely available to everyone, no matter their background, income level, or need. We pray for all those who care for the sick and dying. Gracious God, grant them wisdom, skill, insight, resilience, and protection as they seek to do their work to the best of their ability, often in difficult and challenging circumstances. We particularly pray for all currently engaged in research who are seeking to develop a vaccine for coronavirus. Grant them understanding and wisdom so that a cure may be found. Father, comfort those who are fearful of the future, facing uncertain and worrying times through unemployment, redundancy, or financial instability. Lord, we pray that businesses may be secured, jobs protected, and families supported in the weeks and months ahead. We pray for all those who feel isolated or alone, that they may experience your loving presence. Lord, shine your light upon those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their difficulties, and bring them the joy of your redeeming love. Lord, we lift to you all those working with people who are homeless, outreach workers and volunteers, organisations, health professionals, police, and local councils. We are sorry for the times when we have not taken your word seriously. Help us not to reduce your call to share our food with the hungry, take the homeless into our homes, and clothe the naked into something that can only be met by centres, projects, or specialised teams. We praise you for their life-giving work, but ask that you would not let us use their efforts and expertise as an escape from what you ask of us personally. Help us to remember that while you work through programmes and professionals, that no one can meet needs like you can. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you those known to us who are on our hearts and are in need of your loving touch.
Father God, we pray for the world that we live in. God, we can see that this world is in turmoil in so many ways and in need of your light. We think, God, of so many who have been affected by the pandemic, whether by loss of employment or stability, loss of freedom, those who are stuck in abusive situations, those who have suffered loss of health or loss of life, for those who have lost their lives and those who have lost loved ones. Your world is hurting, Lord, and our hearts break for it. We can see around us a world that is in need, God, in need of you, in need of your wisdom and your comfort and your peace. And so, Lord, we pray that your kingdom would shine through the darkness that surrounds us and break down the walls and break off the chains that bind so many hearts. We pray that all those who seek you will find you. We pray that you will comfort all those who are in need. Give your peace to all those whose hearts are broken and are struggling with what lies before them. May your supernatural peace and joy flow through and flow over them. And we pray for our leaders, those who serve in government and are faced with tough decisions to keep as many people safe as possible. There are no easy answers to navigating this pandemic, Lord, but we pray that you would help them all on a regional, national and global level to move forward with your wisdom for your world. And finally, God, we pray for your church. We thank you for how you have sustained us as a congregation through the last number of months as we have experienced life through a pandemic. We thank you for Ben, Johnny, Jill, for session and committee, and how they have served us as a church family through this time. We pray for our church, for your church, Lord, and ask that you would continue to draw us closer to you as we spend time hearing from you and learning from your word and worshipping you together, whether online or in person. Bless our leaders and guide them in all of your ways. And we ask for your blessings upon next weekend, God, as we meet together in groups to celebrate communion together. Father, I know it's something that I have really missed, meeting together to share in the bread and wine, to remember the Lord Jesus' sacrifice for us. It is a really special time for our congregation, so we ask that you would prepare our hearts. Help us to remember your body broken for us and your blood shed for us. We pray that you would encourage us in prayer next weekend and help us to draw closer and closer to you as we pray for your world and for your people and we seek your will. And may we always give you all of the glory, Lord. All of these prayers we offer up in faith. Amen.
There's a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day, a glimpse of glory now. hope that stands the test of time. That lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all for evermore. Amen.